John 16, starting at verse 16. Jesus went on to say, "In a little while you will see me no more. Then after a little while you will see me." At this, some of his disciples said to one another, "What does he mean by saying, 'In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me'? And because I'm going to the Father." They kept asking, "What does he mean by a little while? We don't understand what he is saying." Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this. So he said to them, "Are you asking one another what I meant when I said, 'In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me'? Very truly, I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child has born into the world. So with you. Now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day, you will ask in my name. I'm not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father." Then Jesus' disciples said, "Now you are speaking clearly and without figure of speech. Now we can see that you know all things and that you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God." "Do you now believe?" Jesus replied. "A time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world."
One of the first times that I ever preached, I think it was the second or the third time, the title of my sermon was "The Confusion of the Disciples." I think it was quite a long sermon, and somebody said to me on the door, "We were confused too, Alistair." I still kept going. But there's something about when you read the Easter accounts, you see the disciples, they're in such confusion. They're lacking in so much understanding. And I just want to level with you this morning that I sometimes have questions as well. Do you have questions about all of this? About the death of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus and what happened after that? Or have you got it all worked out? There's three things that they needed to understand that Jesus was helping them with in this chapter. And there's three things that we need to understand: that the purpose of Jesus' death, the power of his resurrection, and the presence of the Spirit. One of the three is not enough. It's not enough just to understand one of the three. You need to understand all three. Because half a gospel or a third of the gospel is not enough. It only makes sense when the cross and the resurrection and the Spirit and the giving of the Spirit is all given. Now, we can greatly sympathize with the disciples because of the time that this is speaking about. And that's another question that we should ask ourselves whenever we're reading the gospel is, what time is it? What time is it? This is Jesus speaking to them before the cross. And Jesus is speaking to them about things after he dies. We're not listening, Jesus. The first thing you said was too much. We can't take it in. You've just said that you're leaving us now, that you are going to die. You can try and tell us these other things about rising again and sending this Spirit, but we're not listening. Because you've just given us an earth-shattering piece of news, and we can't see beyond that. That's what's happening in this chapter. He's saying, I think you said you did not understand. You see, they're going from the upper room where he's spent hours teaching them. And they're walking on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane. And they're having this conversation on the way. Did you have a clue what he was on about? Did you understand what he said? In a little while you will see me no more. And then you will see me? Did you know what he meant? They just kept asking each other, what did he mean by that? And what did he mean by, I'm going to the Father? And Jesus stopped and turned around. I don't know if they were single file, if they were more spread out. And he said, I think you've been asking, are you asking one another what I meant when I said, in a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me? So it's this confusion that they have. But what is wonderful about this section of John's gospel is it shows us how much he loves them. This whole section from chapter 13 through to chapter 18, it begins with Jesus knew that his time had come to leave this world, so he showed them the full extent of his love. We know that he washed their feet. He did that amazing, humble thing before their very eyes. But then he spent hours teaching them. Now, what was he talking about for hours and hours and hours? He's just facing the most horrific arrest, trial, beaten till he's half dead, hung on a cross, humiliated. You'd think, if that was us, and we knew that was coming up in a few hours' time, what would we be talking about? We would be talking to our friends saying, please come and help me to prepare for this terrible thing that's about to happen. But what Jesus does is he doesn't ask them to prepare him for his death. He spends his time helping them to prepare them for their life. He's interested in their life, their future. He's not focusing on himself. And that is so amazing. That is the greatest thing, that if you're here this morning and you're going through grief, you're going through bewilderment, and if you ever had any doubt that God would listen, that God would bend his ear, then this chapter tells us that he will not only listen, but he will teach and will show you what it's all about. He said, I, in verse 28, he eventually says, I came from the Father. I came from the Father and entered this world. And now I'm leaving and I'm going back to the Father. And the disciples said, ah, now you're speaking plainly. You've been speaking in parables and you've been speaking in these enigmatic sayings like, you will, it's a bit like hide and seek, you know? Now you see me, now you don't. You know, what's going on there? And John mentions that about four times in this passage. You will not see me and then you will see me again. They didn't understand. And then he said, I am leaving this world. And he said, now we know what you're on about. You're going to die. You're talking about your death. Now we believe. And he said, next thing he said was, you're going to be scattered. The shepherd will be struck and the sheep will be scattered. And you say you understand, but in a few minutes, in a few hours, you'll be going back to your day jobs. And he said, I tell you these things so that you will not fall away. I've told you these things so that you may not be anxious, but have peace. He is so concerned to prepare them for the future. And this message is about preparing us to live for Christ. There's all the equipping that we need. The purpose of the cross. Have we understood this? These children really helped me this week to understand what the disciples were going through. Because I was saying to the children at Good News Club, Jesus dies on a cross. And they're going, no! And that's what the disciples were saying. Jesus was speaking about how he was going to go to the cross. And they're going, no, no, this is terrible. Have you ever tried to speak to someone who is facing death, either their own death or the death of a dear loved one? And you try to encourage them with the hope of eternal life, with the reality of heaven, with the joys that await them on the other side. And they just can't take it in. They just say, well, you know, my Christian friends come and I'm dealing with this terrible disease and it's just overwhelming. My Christian friends come and they talk to me about heaven, but I just can't take it in. Is it okay for me to tell them not to talk about that for now? Because I'm just thinking about dying. I think there is a place for talking about our eternal hope, but we need to listen to the person that we're with and pray for an opportunity at the right time to share with them the full gospel. But they may not be able to take it in. All they can see is a full stop. They can't see a dot, dot, dot to be continued. And that's what's happening with the disciples here. Oh, to see the dawn of the darkest day. Oh, to see the dawn. Trusting God in the dark is hard. Trusting God in the face of death is hard. Trusting in the goodness of God in the face of death is hard. It's hard even for a Christian. That's why if you read Pilgrim's Progress, as he's on that final chapter, as he's crossing the Jordan, he's full of doubt. He's saying, you know, these things that I have always believed, will they take me to the other side? Let's not be critical of each other when we have our questions. Because death is never good. Death is horrible. Death is the great enemy. Let's not be surprised if we're frightened. These disciples were so anxious. And he said, I've told you these things so that you may have peace. But take heart. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. And so we have this message about the power of the resurrection, that the difference that the resurrection will make. And now we have to use our imagination and we have to think of the disciples on the other side. We have to think about them on that Easter morning when their grief will turn to joy. That's what Jesus says is very truly in verse 20, you will weep and mourn, but your grief will turn to joy. He described it as a woman in labor. And I don't think any man can understand what that is. I don't think the disciples understood what Jesus was talking about. And we know that even today, like childbirth is complex, and there's lots of different ways to give birth to a child. But back in the first century, there was only one way, and there were no cesarean sections, and it was through agonizing pain. And yet the mother is prepared to go through that for the joy of holding her child at the end of it. And that is the illustration that Jesus is bringing to the disciples. It's an illustration that's used throughout Scripture. It's used in Romans chapter 8 to speak about the groaning that we experience now. Because this question about what time is it is relevant for us just now. That we know that the grief does not get eliminated the moment we believe in Jesus, does it? It's not that somehow we don't have to go through problems. That's a false gospel. You know, I think some of the old choruses, which hopefully have been deleted, you know, talking about, when I trust in Jesus, all my troubles fly away. Well, that's not what this scripture is telling us. Jesus is saying, you, believer, will have trouble. But knowing what time it is, knowing that there will be an end to these troubles, is really crucial. Knowing that there is pain, there is grief, there is sorrow, but there will be an end to these sorrows. There will be a full stop to death. Even Harry Potter, and I'd never read the Harry Potter books, but I was reading a review this week of Harry Potter, and it said at the very last chapter of the very last book of Harry Potter, it says that they were looking at a verse in Scripture which said, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. It's from 1 Corinthians 15. So there we are in one of the best-selling novels in our culture, at the total climax of the story is the hope that the last enemy will be destroyed. And it's a quotation from 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 is the scripture that we said together at the beginning of this service. This is the gospel on which you stand, that Christ has died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And it's on the basis of his resurrection, the resurrection physical of Jesus Christ, that we can say that all human beings who believe in him will receive resurrection life. As Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though they die. It's in Jesus that we have life. And the small print is very, very important, friends. Perhaps you love to hear the word peace. I need that peace. I'm so anxious. I need that peace. The pastor is talking about peace. Yes, I want to hear that peace. I need that peace. But look with me closely in verse 33. Jesus said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. He's talking about the peace which comes through faith in Jesus Christ, through his death, which reconciles us to God, our sins forgiven, we can be one with God. That is the peace. And then from that union with God, the peace flows into our hearts. Are you feeling anxious today about situations in your life? Where is your supply? Where is your supply of peace? Where is it coming from? Are you connected to the source of peace, the shalom of God? It's only in him that you can have that peace. And you can have that peace if he is not only giving you that truth, but that he's living inside you. And that is the third aspect of the gospel. Understanding his death is absolutely crucial. The purpose of the cross, the power of the resurrection, it is the power of the resurrection that gives us that joy. Your grief will turn to joy because Christ is alive and Christ is with us. I was reading this week about Richard Werbrand, who was a Christian who was arrested in Romania. He was put in prison, and he was eventually released after real sort of suffering in prison. And he saw his wife when he came out of prison, and he was really happy to see his wife, his beautiful wife. And he said something to his wife, which was a little bit unusual. I'm not sure I would say this to my wife. But he said this because he was so close to Jesus when he came out of prison that he said, you are looking beautiful, and I want to kiss you. But before I do that, I want to tell you that when I was in prison, I was full of joy. When I was in prison, I was full of joy because I was with Jesus. And it wasn't just that I was suffering in prison and now I'm full of joy because I'm out of prison. I had this joy when I was in prison. So as much as I'm delighted to see you and you have increased my joy, I don't want you to think that I was really sad in there because Jesus was with me. Has that blown your mind? This is what Jesus is saying to the disciples. He's saying things to them that they just can't take in. He's saying, I'm going to the cross. In a little while, you'll see me no more, and then you will see me on Resurrection Day. But it's really good that I'm going away. You should be glad that I'm going away, because if I go away, the Holy Spirit will be given to you. John 16, verse 7. I'd like to show you where it is in the Bible so you can read it later. Very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Holy Spirit will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And then later on in the chapter, Jesus then goes on to speak about this relationship we can have with God through Jesus Christ, who paid for our sins. We have the life of God in us, the Holy Spirit, and it is a relationship of asking. He says, you need to ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. He's saying that the Christian life is about a conversation, a daily conversation with God. It's about calling out to him. He's saying that yes, there's going to be lots of trouble, and there's going to be lots of days when you're going to feel like just moaning on all day. There's going to be so much trouble that you would have, it would seem reasonable to have a good moan. He's saying that before you have a good moan, have you tried praying? He says, ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Isn't that amazing? That when troubles cut in, that we can have a good moan? Or we can pray. The joy seems to be connected with the prayer. Can you see that? Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Ask and you will have joy, even in the prison, even at the funeral, even at the sickbed, even as you face your exams, you can have joy in the exam room. Why? Because Christ has risen and Christ is in you by his Holy Spirit. And Christ is with us today. So he says, take heart. Take heart. It's a message of encouragement. That I feel like I want to shout out, is it good news? And I don't want you to say, no. That was my experience earlier this week. But is this good news? I think so. Is that what you're saying? Is this good news?
Yes.
That Christ, there was a good purpose in his death. There's a great power in his resurrection, and there's an amazing presence in all circumstances. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that you've given us a promise here, a promise that you can turn grief into joy. And we pray for those who are grieving today, for those who have lost dear ones. And on this day, we can sympathize that they cannot see anything but the clouds. But we pray that they may have joy, that they may know the presence and the peace and the truth that you have overcome death itself, that that great enemy was destroyed when your Son rose from the dead on the third day. Your grief will turn to joy. We thank you that you overcame. We thank you that you conquered over sin. You have triumphed over death, victorious over sickness. Jesus reigns over all. And Lord, help us to know the time between the giving of the Spirit and Jesus coming back again. And help us to trust in your promises. That even though we face grief in all kinds of trials, that our faith will be proved genuine, that we'll be refined like the gold, and that we will achieve the goal of our faith, the salvation of our souls, and have that inexpressible and glorious joy. Holy Spirit, would you grant us this now? In Jesus' name, amen.